We'll get to Parshas Lech Lecha in a moment. I first want to read a chelek of one of the Igros Chazon Ish. It's very much nageya to what we want to discuss today. It's in a Simon Chof in the first volume of the Koivetz Igros. And apparently a Ben Yeshiva had asked the Chazon Ish for hanhogos. What are the hanhogos that a Ben Yeshiva should foster within himself and to become an Elecha Yid? So number one, to my intense surprise, reads as follows. Hanhoga number one for an aspiring Ben Yeshiva, Lizoya Ma'oid Ma'oid Me Achilas Tanuk, to be very, very, very careful not to have a meal that you enjoy. The imbetumas haguf yesh rishon de tumma v'yesh ava tumma v'yesh avi avos, betumas hanefesh shel milui hatavo ba'achilas tanuk, Misachet Rishon the Tumma, Va'ava Tumma, Va'via Voisa Tumma. It's everything together. It's about the most horrible thing that you can possibly do. Dovo Zemin Hashefolim Ma'od, Ma'akvim Esalimud, Ukut Omru Bemedrash, Behuva Betoises Ksubus Kuf Dalet Omad Aleph, Atcha Odam Mispalel, Shiyifnesu Divrei Teuro Lesoich Gufoi, Yispalel Shiloi Yifnesu Ma'adanim Lesoich Gufoi. Omru Gitten Ein Omad Aleph, Seudoscho Shano Oscho Heimeno, Meshoich Yotcho Heimeno. If anybody offers you something to eat which you like to eat, don't take it. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not propagating over here that this is a hanhoga for everybody. It surely hasn't been my hanhoga. And, well, maybe I'm not enough of a ben toga that I should be. But the fact that the chazan, you see, after that, he comes along with the kind of things that you expect. Base, li yois rogel betfilo, li nozel mi yetzahora, gimel shlolasa shumasi hanaveh merotzen shel kovet, number four, li zoi melasas dova meshune shein achregem oisim kein, bitzniestek, li zoi meol shlolil vas kesef mishum odam, number six, li ayin b'mahasho, and so on. But that number one, like, why is it so? Why is it that this eating an achilas tanuk, that eating something that you enjoy eating, is such a dreadful thing in the eyes of the Chazon Ish? He knew how to become a ben Toiro, and this is what he says. So we're hearing from an expert. So how does one understand that? So the reason I'm thinking about this particular letter of the Chazon Ish is because I was thinking of the Shnois Toihu. We all know the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that the history of the world can be divided into three epochs: 2,000 years Toihu, 2,000 years Toiro, and 2,000 years Yemois HaMashiach. So it suddenly bothered me. I don't think it's ever bothered me quite in this way that I'm going to ask the question now. But why did the Ribbono Shel Olam need 2,000 years of Shnois Toihu? Toihu means complete chaos. Toihu is Toihu after when Avraham was born in 1948. So that's when the Shnois Toihu began. But before that, it was Shnois Toihu. So Toihu is good, I suppose, and Toihu is bad. So let's try and understand why the Ribbono Shel Olam needed these original 2,000 years of Shnois Toihu. Of course, I don't know whether that was Lechatchila. Could be that if Adam HaRishon had never sinned, there wouldn't have been Shnois Toihu, and that the Toihu of those first 2,000 years derived from the fact that there was Averus and all the terrible things that happened. The Doi HaMavel, I mean, we all know the stories, we all know what happened. But like, what's going on? What's the toichen of these Shnois Toihu? So I wanted to tackle this from the Maral, who in Der Chaim, in the fifth parag of Pirkei Avos, he asks the question which really all of us ought to be asking, I think, And perhaps I've mentioned it once in this shiurim, I don't really remember, but what was it that in those 2,000 years until Avraham came along, like all of them, it was just one failure after another. These were all terrible people. So, except like you have Chanoch, you have Noach, but Bederech Klal, each one of the generations that were listed in the Torah, they were all bad people. I mean, what's going on? So what did the Rebbeinu Shem need such a world for? That everybody should be a failure. And that is a question which the Maral Taka asks in Pirkei Avos, and he wants to know the answer. Now, I'll read this piece of Maral because it's very, very yesodistic, and I don't think I've ever read it in this shiurim before. It says, V'yesh lishoil, we have to ask, Lama hoyu hadoros shemitchilas habriya dafke kol kachoyten? Why is it like that? Why is it that the first 20, there are different cheshbon there, Noach was included there, he wasn't included, never mind how the cheshbon goes, but let's call it 20 as a round number. Yeah, that why dafke kol kachoyten? Why were they such big sinners? V'yesh loch ladas min hadvorim asher bi'arnu lemala etzel kol shema asof merubim mechochmosa, that if masof merubim mechochmosa, then chochmosa miskayemes. But if it's chochmosa merubim masof, then it's not miskayemes. So over there, the Maral explained, shehakol nimshach acha guf ho'odam. Everything depends on the guf of the person, on the body. Shehu nechshav yesoid ve'ikar ho'odam. The guf is the important part, is the, we'll see in a moment, the shoyrish from which the Odom grows. The ka'asher ha-yesod ha-zeh hu lefi ma'asher ro'e li-yoyis, if the shoyrish, which is the guf in a person, is the way it's supposed to be, mesulek min ha-pechisos, uninvolved in no goodniks, achakach hu moisef hu misale male male at shekoine madrege el yoine v'doyme dova ze el ha-shoyrash min ha-ilon shu chosak, that if the ilon, the shoyrash of the ilon is strong, shu hu godal, then the tree grows hu misale male male. So if the shoyrash is a healthy, good, strong shoyrash, the tree will grow beautifully. Avol if all the wonderful things that happen to the tree don't come from the shoyrish, because the shoyrish is weak and ineffective, but these milas are poured on from above, rak ikka hamalo mitzatshu mekabel madrege el yoyna, but ve ein loy hamale min hashoyrish, is you're pouring out wonderful ideas and wonderful philosophies and wonderful thoughts, but they don't grow from where the guf is. They don't grow from the shoyrish. Dova ze eino nechshav male uvoroiv hi magia el achesoron legamre. And on the contrary, all these wonderful qualities, well, I don't know really very much about the history of the philosophers, but we know that many of these people were big moshchosim, and their practical lives did not live up to the beautiful philosophies that they expounded. Umipnese tovin hadvorim o'ele ki odom orishoin asher hoyo nivro betzelem elokim v'hoyo mekabel hamadrego ha'elyoino v'chein kol ha'doiros shemin odom v'ad noyach hoyo kerovim el hamadrego ha'elyoino hazois. They were all enormously great people. U'legoydel hamadrego shehoiso bohem loy hoyo lohem yesoid lefi erech hamalo hazois. Their shoyrish was not, which means the guf we learned before, was not up to this mile. We'll see in a moment why. Ulefichach hoyu doimim le'ilon sh'anof of merubim min ha'shoroshim v'hoyo toisefes zu chesoren. Why is that? Why was the guf? Why was their guf not up to it? Because these were the shenois toihu. These were not yet shenois toira. What does toira do to us? Torah is Asher Kiddushonu b'mitzvosav, v'tzivonu, that through the Rebbeinu Shem giving us these mitzvahs, so doing them is somehow mekadesh the guf. And if somebody is constantly oisek in mitzvahs, so his guf becomes more and more holy, and as his guf becomes more and more holy, so therefore then the madregas, which he makes part of himself as he learns and as he has teachers and as he lives among great people and so on, so all the milas, they have a shoyrish in the shoyrish and develop from the shoyrish upwards, and then like a tree who has a strong shoyrish, everything is fine. But in the shnois toihu, there were no mitzvahs. There were the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noach, but they are not the mitzvahs which are augment, which are meant to be mekadesh the person. I don't suppose so. So mimela, they didn't have anything to be mechazek the shoyrish, and if they didn't have anything to be mechazek the shoyrish, so everything got messed up, and eventually the trees became top heavy and toppled. That's taka what happened. That's how the Maharal understands why in the shnois toihu all these people were terrible people, but once Avraham came along and the shnois toiro began, so things worked out in a completely different and much better way. The guf became healthy, and once the guf had become healthy, they were able to live according to these milos and became groser tzaddikim. And I think that is what the Chazon Ish is telling us over here. The Chazon Ish is telling us, look, if you're going to learn to indulge in a delicious food, let's say you're eating something and the thing is healthy and it's very good and it's the kind of thing you should be eating, but now you have to have a whole bottle full of ketchup poured out on it, which isn't there for its nutritious value, but it's there in order to make it taste better. So what you're doing is that you're not being mekadesh your guf, and since you're not being mekadesh your guf, so then the guf, instead of developing along the lines of kiddushonu b'mitzvosov, it becomes involved in these taivas, and by being involved in these taivas, it becomes a weak and ineffective guf. And mimela, with this Chazon Ish, in other words, I think that the Chazon Ish and the Maharal are going along the same mahalach over here. Of course, they come from different angles, but the Chazon Ish was trying to spell out the milas of a ben Torah, and well, the Maharal is like a Rashi on the Chazon Ish to the Yochel. What's this got to do with Lech Lecha? Because I think that we asked, why did the Rebbeinu Shem need the Shnois Toihu? And obviously, if we've assumed all along, now we can say it very expressly, the Shnois Toiro begin with Avraham. Whether they begin exactly with Lech Lecha, that I don't know exactly at which stage of Avraham's life the Shnois Toiro begin, but certainly the Lech Lecha is a tzivri. Just a gavurcha, just because it's interesting, not so much that because I need this to develop the thesis that I'm trying to develop over here, but just zwischen sich geredt, that explains the first Rashi in Lech Lecha, very interesting. Everybody knows Lech Lecha, Rashi says, Lehanu Oscha, because if you don't go away, you can't develop, I can't make you into a Goy Godel over here, you have to go somewhere else. So now, just this agavuchotika thing, but it's interesting to know. So everybody asks on the Rashi, including the Ramban, he says, why do you dash on the lecho? This pronoun is very, very endemic to Loshna Kodesh in general. Hageshem cholaf holach lo. Shlach lecho an Hashem. In other words, that this usage of the lecho in such a context is regular in Lashon HaKodesh. It's just a sort of a quirk of the language. So why do you need to dashen it over here? So the Maharal, the Guraya, has a whole mahalach And what he explains, I don't want to go barichos, but just what he says is like this. He says, yes, it's part of the language when it makes sense. What does lech mean? What does the lecho mean with hageshem cholav holach loy? Yeah? Or let's say shlach lecho anashem. Rashi says, any mitzvah choyser, it's not a mitzvah. You can send if you want. That means if you're the balabas, so then the addition of that pronoun makes sense. Hageshem cholav holach loy. Kiilu the geshem, nobody was telling the geshem what to do, at least the way we experience geshem, so it was up to him. So he decided to go, it's time for spring to come. Okay, so he went. Oh, shlach lecho anashem. There's no mitzvah. We made a lecho. Do you want it, don't you? It's your decision. So the lecho makes sense. But over here, by lech lecho, this is a mitzvah. The Rabban Shem said, go. I mitzvah you to go. So lecho, how do you come into it? So the lecho is inappropriate over here. So if the lecho is inappropriate over here, so we made it has to be here for the Rosh. We made it, Rosh says, lana osa. So you don't really need this whole shekel title to understand what I'm saying, but it's interesting. So that here we have a mitzvah. And once you have a mitzvah, you're not asked. So if you're not asked, why lech lecho? So Rosh says, lana osa. What's going on? Like, why is Avraham over here driven away from all those aspects of his life that made life livable for all of us? We're part of a family, we're part of a place. We feel at home. And what the Rabban Shem said is break it all. Shla echlecho me'atzecho mi'moladetecho mi'beis avicho el oretz asher arecho. You don't even know where you're going. So why did the Rabban Shem have to make it so hard? Break off all relationships. It's going to be all new. What's going on? In other words, why is Noach followed by lech lecho? In other words, the beginning of Jewish history is the I'm not saying any big tradition over here, but what is it? It's going into Golus. I mean, Golus can be defined in different ways. So once we had Eretz Yisrael, so Golus means not being in Eretz Yisrael. But over there wasn't any issue yet of having Eretz Yisrael. This was just the beginning of eventually getting Eretz Yisrael. But Golus is, if you lech lecho me'atzecho me'moladetecho me'beis avicho. So then that means go into Golos. Like why do you have to go into Golos? Why did it Avraham, in order to attain that which the Rabban Shlom wanted him to attain, why did he have to go into Golos? Oh, so maybe we've mentioned before the Maral on the Brocha in Shmoneh Esra, al Tzadikim, al Chasidim, al Zikne Amcho Beis Yisrael, al Pleita Sofrem, al Geire HaTzedek, Yehemuno Rachamecha. How do the Geirim come into there? The Brocha deals with great people. So a Geir could be a great person. Certainly the fact that he became a Geir shows that he's a person who's interested in growth and in development. That's all true. But does that put the Geir on the same level as the Tzadikim, the Chassidim, and the Zekenim? It's a different category. So what's he doing over here? So the Maral says, because the Seichel is a Geir be'olam ha'zeh. That was when you're talking about al tzaddikim, al chassidim, al zikne amro beis Yisrael, the name of the brocha is not the brocha that deals with great tzaddikim. If that were the subject of the brocha, so then the geirei tzedek wouldn't fit into that. Some of them are great tzaddikim, some of them are less great tzaddikim. But it's not talking about tzaddikim, it's talking about geirim, al chassidim, al tzaddikim, geirim, al chassidim, geirim, al kletos achrev, geirim. They're all geirim. Because they're geirim be'olam hazeh. Because ultimately, I think that's why it says atochoinen le'odam das umlamed le'enosh bina. What does it mean? Choinen. Choinen is always a free gift, a matnas chinam, something that's not natural to that situation. It's something which the giver had to go and give over and beyond that which you could reasonably have asked for. So what's the pshat of that? Because the seichel is a ger ba'olam hazeh. So if the ger is a ger, is the seichel is a ger ba'olam hazeh, kumtim kein zachnish, right? You can't come and demand anything. So das, So we say, das is such a profound level of understanding. We're not asking for chachma over here, we're asking for das. We're not asking for the first stages of intellectual understanding, but we're asking for das, the mature and well understood and really chewed through the yesoides which we know. So that is an act of chanina. Who are we? We're strangers over here. What did Yaakov and Esav do in Rivka's womb? They made a contract that Yaakov gets Olam Habo and Esav gets Olam Hazeh. So Yaakov has no rights in Olam Habo, in Olam Hazeh. That we've talked about. This idea that Yidden have to make a bracha, and if you eat without a bracha, you're a gazlan. A guy doesn't have to make a bracha. Why not? He's using the same thing. It tells us it belongs to him. Yeah, the Esav got Olam Hazeh. If you got Olam Hazeh, you don't have to say thank you each time. But if you don't have Olam Hazeh, you only have Olam Habo, and you are down here in Olam Hazeh as a stranger, as an alien. So an alien has no rights. So Mimele, the Rebbe Elisha said, fine, but I gotta let you eat. But I want you, each time you start eating, you have to know that I'm giving it to you. That is what Judaism is. That Judaism is life of a ger in Olam Hazeh. And that is why Jewish history has to start with Avraham becoming a ger, Avraham becoming a goyle. Lech lecho me'atzecho u'mimoladetecho u'mibeis avicho. The Emma says, and this I think we also talked about in Hazinu, that is really what Hazinu is all about. Israel. 70 countries, 70 geographical entities which were given to the 70 nations, and they were le mispa b'nei Yisrael, the same 70 of the 70 people who came down to Mitzrayim. So 70 countries neged 70 people. Why not a country? Ki chelek Hashem amo. Yaakov chevel nachaloso. Yimtzoehu be'eretz midbar. Uvesoyu yelel yeshimayin. The Metzius, the definition of Klal Yisrael is Yimtzoehu be'eretz midbar. No country. No country, no country, including Eretz Yisrael. Because when Eretz Yisrael is most our own, it is least our own. Because when is it most our own? We've mentioned that before. It's most of our own when it's Rav Yoshveh Haleh, and you have a Beis HaMikdash, and you have a Melech, and you have Nevi'im, and you have Urim V'Tumim, and you've got everything, and that is when Yovel is Noyek. And how is Yovel Noyek? You're a bunch of kerim. That means the definition of a yid at his most developed stage is to be a ger. Why am I a ger? Eretz Yisrael is ours. The one who gave us Eretz Yisrael. He gave us Eretz Yisrael, but Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. So what is Eretz Yisrael? It's the Chelek Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Balei Bos over there. So how does it become mine? The Torah says the Ribbono Shel Olam lets us live there. That is why v'loy soki ha'oretz eschem, that the land is going to vomit you out if you're not going to act in accordance with the way a ger should act in Eretz Yisrael. When you're invited into somebody's house, you better, you know, live by the rules of the house. And if they ask you to take the shoes off before you walk on the carpet, so you have to take the shoes off before you walk on the carpet. And if you don't do that, and you mess up the carpet, so then you'll get sent out. And that is exactly what Eretz Yisrael is. Today in Eretz Yisrael, it's ours much, much more than it is in Yetz Hashem when the Yovel will be Noyek. Nowadays, if you have a field in Eretz Yisrael, you sell it, it's sold, it's misos. There is no Yovel. Yovel is not Noyek. So when is Yovel Noyek? When do we become true Gerim? We become true Gerim when we are in Eretz Yisrael in the best possible action that we could possibly be. The emes is that a lot of what goes on in Lech Lecha is really like, once we understand that Lech Lecha is the Jewish Pasha in the Torah, it's saying to us, Yimtzeu be'eretz midbar uvesayhu yilel yeshimon. That's where the Rabban Shem chose us. We were in the Eretz Midbar. Yecheskel in Perek 20 says, what is Golos? Golos is the Midbar Ha'amim. We are in the Midbar again. We are not at home. Wherever we are not at home. Halavai, the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael should be at home in Eretz Yisrael. But we're not at home. So we're in the Midbar Ha'amim, Yimtzo'ehu Be'eretz Midbar. And relative to Avraham leaving Lech Lecho Me'atzecho or Me'moyladetecho or Me'beis Avicho, having to go away from everything that was familiar, everything that was at home for him, he had to go away from that. That was his Midbar. And he went to Eretz Yisrael. And he was a nomad. He was a nomad. He went here, he went there, he put his tent over here, put his tent over there. He was never at home anywhere. And the truth is that when the Ruach came, he went to Mitzrayim. You know, there's a Chazal, which is very interesting, which I never really thought through before. But now in the context of what we're learning right now, I think that I'm not so wrong when I think about it. So what happened? It says that when Avraham was traveling towards Eretz Yisrael, so he saw in all the places that he passed that the people were they weren't being responsible about looking after the fields and the vineyards and so on. Ah, they let everything go by itself with nettles and with weeds and whatever it is. They didn't take care of anything. But when he came to Eretz Canaan, so there everything was well. All the workers, all the people worked conscientiously and so on. And he said, "Wow, this is the land. I hope this is going to be the land which is going to be given to me." That means he recognized Eretz Yisrael by the fact that the goyim who lived there, now the goyim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't goyse tzaddikim, these were the Shiva Amamim, which ultimately Lysachaya called Neshama. So I mean they were Roshoim at a very, 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 very profound level. So how come that but they were good farmers, that means they were conscientious farmers, they were the kind of farmers who made sure that the fences are in repair and they paint them to make sure that they shouldn't rot, and they looked after the properties. Like Ma'apitam, suddenly the Canaan become such gross and tzaddikim that they look after their farms in a way that the other people outside Eretz Yisrael didn't. Oh, but the terrors is that this is a yesod that grows out from the Ramban. What does the Ramban say in Noach? The Ramban in Noach by Ogo Kanan Eved Avodim Yelecho, that Noach was Geyser, that Kanan should be an Eved Avodim. So it says, wie hat sich das ausgestellt? How did Kanan become our Eved? I mean, we don't have slaves. So what kind of an Eved did Canaan come by us? So he says that is why Eretz Yisrael, which was destined for Klal Yisrael, which is the Chelek Hashem, and the Chelek Hashem was destined for Klal Yisrael, so Canaan was put into Eretz Canaan in order that he should ready the country for Klal Yisrael. In other words, when Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, it was a bottom lane called Tuva Shaloi Bonisa, that in Kromim was the Daza Shaloi Notata. That was Canaan's function. Canaan had to function as an Eved to ready Eretz Yisrael for Klal Yisrael. So Avraham recognized that this is the country, that's the one that he wants. What's the pshat? That's the one that he wants. Because that is the place where he's going to become a permanent ger. And if you invite a ger into your house, so then you expect him to look after the furniture and to look after the place. That it should be eventually that when you come back or when you visit, you should have a beautiful house, which is what you want and what you're lending him to. So Avraham said, Halavai, this is the land. Because you see that Canaan at some point intuited that his job in Eretz Yisrael is to ready it and to make it into a beautiful country for when Klal Yisrael comes in. And he understood that this was what was expected of him, and this was what was demanded of him. And so Mimele, he worked, and everything was nice. And Avraham recognized that. He realized that his Yiddishkeit was going to be a life of geirus in Olam Hazeh. Al tzaddikim, al chassidim, al zikne amcho beis Yisrael is the brocha of geirim, al geirei hatzedek. It's the brocha of geirim. And that is ultimately what a Yid has to achieve. That a Yid has to achieve to be geirim. Now, that has enormous hashlachot. It's all got all kinds of implications. Yeah, I'm talking like a Rosh Tzaddik. I'm not, but the if we take all this seriously, emotionally in the chinuch of our children, how are we mechanech our children? So, all right, so you have a mahalach, you have prizes. The children do what they're supposed to do, so they get a prize. So, what's the prize? Let's say some kind of candy, some delicious kind of candy. So, what are we telling the child? We're telling the child that, oh, life in this world is improved with candies. That a candyless life is somehow insufficient, but you did everything nicely, so you get a prize, and now you get a candy. Ooh, now you're really, that's called living. That's called living. And it's not. The way the Chazanish says, it's not. It's not called living. It's called something completely different. Maybe it's inappropriate to mention this. I was part of a Chevra Kadisha once, and the leader of the Chevra Kadisha, so we made the taras in a funeral home where there was so next to the tara room was where the other mason were lying, and some of them were lying in the beautiful arenas, you know, with making it beautiful and comfortable inside the oven. I can't think of the word now. Satin and silk and their vase. Yeah. So every time he used to come in and he looked at those aronas with the vase, oh, that's living. When you lie in such a beautiful oven. But that's a moyodiket moshel in the context which we're talking now. That's an interesting moshel in what we're talking. Yeah, we get ourselves used to equate good living with candies. So, oh, that's living. what's it does? Zokta Chazanish, that the Ovis HaTumah, it's Tumah, and Rishon Tumah, and Ava Tumah, everything together. And Tumah, we associate with death. So there are lots of hashlachot from this, and I was like, how are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to think? How are we supposed to be mechanech our children? But the emes is, I think, that is the message which we learn from Pasha's lecture. So let's try to become Erech HaYidin.